Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company, a longtime proud supporter of Living on Earth. By making our yogurt cups thinner, we reduce the fuel needed to ship them. That cuts costs and carbon emissions. Who says what's good for the earth isn't good for business?
Seas have sea monsters. Swamps have swamp thing. And lakes have mummies. And living on Earth's Ike Sriskandaraja has three scary but true science stories.
Tales of the dead resurfacing in murky bodies of water are alive and well in Hollywood. Take Friday the 13th. A camper called Jason, who drowned in Crystal Lake as a boy, has been returning for 30 years as a hockey-masked man-child with an axe to grind.
Jason, he came back.
Don't believe me.
Nobody does.
Don't believe me.
Do you know how many lakes are probably called Crystal Lake?
Okay.
The story could have happened anywhere, dude.
Lake has got a monster legend, right? Or it's bottomless, or it's hanging on to the dead in some sort of way.
Professor John Downing from Iowa State is a limnologist, a man who knows about lakes and their dark secrets.
The wicked limnologist. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But Downing says lakes really do have certain properties that make dead things seem less dead.
From a limnological perspective, I would consider a body tossed into a lake to be what I call particulate organic carbon. It's a big chunk of organic material. It may have had thoughts and hopes and dreams and a family and stuff, but it's particulate organic carbon.
And there are a couple of things that help lakes preserve that lifeless chunk of carbon intact.
Deep waters in lakes often tend to be cooler than the surface, so there's sort of a refrigeration effect.
Then there are acids that help with preservation, especially tannic acid that leaches from oak trees and turns lakes brown.
Acid tends to decrease the amount of decomposition there is and will penetrate into the big chunk of organic carbon, essentially tan it as we tan leather.
On the other end of the pH scale, base compounds harden a body through a process called saponification.
Saponification means basically making soap. When you make soap, you add a base to fat, and that fat then turns into sort of a hard, less soluble material.
So between the cool temperatures, leather making, soap making, and a few other traits, like low oxygen levels that deter hungry bacteria, lakes are very good mummy makers.
And in looking into it, we kept finding these references to really interesting decomposition or lack of decomposition stories.
Which brings us to today's feature.
The Wicked Limnologist presents Three Strange Tales of Lake Preservation. Our first story is about an Italian party boat. Too much of a wood thing. Sounds not too spooky.
Well, it's not spooky, but it was in fact a party put on by a monster. And the monster would be Caligula.
Caligula Caesar! Emperor of Rome! Hail!
Hail!
And Caligula, Gaius Caesar, loved to have big parties, and Caligula had built two huge party boats that he had stationed on this little lake called Lago di Nemi. These big oak boats, and they were somewhere just less than the size of a football field, and they had marble floors and lead plumbing.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, gone to great expense to bring you the finest flesh in our empire.
Caligula's party ended abruptly in 41 AD, when he was stabbed in the back by members of the Roman Senate and his own security detail 30 times. They also sunk his epic party boats to the bottom of Lake Nemi, where they remained for 2,000 years, until another Italian dictator came along.
They kept trying to get down there with diving bells or free diving in various ways, but Mussolini's engineers decided that they'd sort of take the opposite approach. So they used the old aqueducts that the Romans had and drained this lake right out and hauled these perfectly preserved boats right out of the bottom of Lago di Nemi.
All aboard the Imperial Bordello!
Well, even the conservative press of the 1930s were saying that they were basically orgies. I think there's no doubt that his parties were nothing that we're likely to see for Halloween this year.
Speak for yourself, Professor.
Most of the women here are respectable married ladies.
The wicked limnologist's next story is, just wait, it gets leather. It begins in Tallinn, Denmark in 1950.
People were digging peat and they found a human down in the peat and they thought that it was possibly a recent murderer. This man was in sort of a fetal position but had a leather rope around his neck and was fully clothed in sort of leather clothing, sort of sheepskin hat and things like that. And well, he looks a little odd.
The police were called, but they were baffled by the gnarled, leathery corpse. They brought in academics who used carbon dating, and they showed the man, now known as Tallund Man, was killed in 400 BC. Strangled and dumped in a bog during Europe's Iron Age, yet you can see the creases on his forehead, the stubble on his chin, and his resting eyelids seem as though they still might open.
Oh, certainly. I mean, he's basically tanned. He's got very dark brown skin, but his face looks perfectly natural. In fact, he looks kind of relaxed in spite of the fact that he had been hanged and fed awful food.
That's the other thing. His stomach was so well preserved that we know what the Tallund man ate 2,400 years ago.
And actually, they did some analyses on his last meal and found that it was made out of 18 species of grasses and weeds or some kind of gruel, and then they made it up and tried to eat it, and they thought that maybe that was worse, actually, than the hanging.
Come for the soup. Stay forever. Which brings us to our third story, our wicked limnologist's favorite, soap on a rope.
This concerns Dr. Mabel Douglas, who was the dean of New Jersey College for Women. And in 1933, apparently, she went out for a row from her cottage on Lake Placid to collect cedar and pine boughs in a little rowboat and got across Lake Placid. And she was never heard from again.
Her boat was found capsized against the shore near the deepest part of the lake. Her family searched for her. Police dredged the lake and scoured nearby trails. But the dean went missing for 30 years.
And in 1963, there were some divers who were doing a deep water dive and found a body perfectly preserved down at the bottom of Lake Placid in 105 feet of water, lying on the bottom. And it was Mabel Douglas. I think the death was ruled accidental, but she had a 50-pound anchor apparently attached to her neck. That was a pretty big accident.
The diver's reports say her skin looked something very much like soap, only hard. Today, tour boat captains on Lake Placid scare guests with tales of how Dean Mabel Douglas turned into dove. She went from missing to mummy to legend.
I believe that her tomb is in New York City, and so it's a popular visiting place on Halloween because although she died, she refused to die completely.
You could say she lives in a liminal space.
In liminal, subliminal, right? Well, it was a very sad case that that she had been lost, but perfectly preserved, and therefore, not only in her academic role as dean did she do some academic good, but also help us to understand carbon preservation in lakes.
For limnologists, even wicked limnologists like Professor John Downing, understanding can turn legends into reality. For Living on Earth, I'm Ike Srikandaraja.